Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. I hear this week you're in Germany, and given that its economy is the world's third biggest and its stock market has been a top performer, not only this year, though in 2024 as well, I thought we might dive into what you see and hear from German businesses or investors these days.
Well, that'll be my absolute pleasure, Dan. Well, so I attended this week's get-together of the leaders of Germany's biggest businesses at the government head office in Berlin this week. While such events invariably include some PR to it, I was deeply heartened to see just how big business leaders, who, you know, are traditionally very critical of the German government, the red tape, taxes and whatnot, were really closing ranks. I mean, they were closing ranks with Chancellor Merz, with his popular Minister for the Economy, Katharina Reiche. And you could just see and feel how they were really seeking to put their best foot forward. They announced new CapEx investments for the next 3 years into jobs, factories, logistics, research and development, north of $700 billion equivalent. And while I do know that such numbers are usually exaggerated, it's the symbolism of Germany's back that touched me. Because, frankly, I simply cannot recall any comparable closing of ranks and such a shared sense of purpose from previous German administrations. And it's very clear to me that this wasn't just theater. This was really the sign of a new beginning. Because meanwhile, and I mentioned this to you before in our chat, I had noted a sea change in confidence among business people across Germany from all walks of business in many discussions I shared with them this year. Seems to me that after two painful years of introspection, Germany really seems to have found back on its foot in its place of belonging again. You know, it's important to note that Germany was Europe's hardest hit economy when Russia invaded Ukraine and caused a massive surge in electricity prices. Germany being an industrial economy and just out of the lockdown, that hit it really hard as costs and inflation surged and profits plunged. Plus the unexpected war not far from its eastern border, the inflow of refugees caused a trauma which the country simply wasn't prepared for. So Germany has been Europe's proverbial sick man between 2020 to 2023, roundabout, as the rest of Europe recovered mildly from the pandemic.
And how did that change come about? What happened to lift Germany's mood and stock market so impressively?
So the next thing that happened was pretty profound. While the government dramatically invested into the energy transition, it built impressive infrastructure, terminals, pipelines to redirect its power demand to LNG, much of it, by the way, from the U.S. Factories, businesses, other big electricity consumers changed their ways, and the result of all of it is traditional manufacturers became leaner. Then declining power prices recharged profits and income, while Germany's venture capital and startup scene increasingly took the spotlight. Germany is now home to the world's most creative fintech scene, I'd argue, and certainly Europe's biggest defense unicorn. And then, of course, a new pro-business government was voted in this year. It immediately scrapped Germany's traditional debt brake in order to go all in on the sorely needed investments into Germany's security and infrastructure. And, you know, that'll not only put more soldiers and weapons to its army, but, and this from a business perspective pays off even sooner, but that'll improve its dilapidated train network, its aging roads, bridges, and, of course, energy supplies. So the long and short, lots of structural change happening at the speed of light compared to the previous very long period of stagnation. Oh, and, yes, of course, last but not least, I shouldn't forget to mention the pivotal role Donald Trump and J.D. Vance had in this. Clearly, their wake-up call, not only to Germany, but to the European Union as a whole, has created a sense of urgency in literally every European capital, which I never saw before. That's how the America First policy is really lifting stock markets around the world, as we've discussed many times on this call this year. So look, Germany's stock market, which was up more than 20% last year and is up more than 30% this year measured in U.S. dollars, still has plenty of upside from where I stand.
Well, that's very good to hear, Burkhard. So I'm curious, what other advice would you give to international investors who may be tempted to follow your guidance?
So let's start with a pleasure. Germany's a big and beautiful country. Wherever you look, you find plenty of history, beauty, and hospitality. Yesterday, I cycled around about 200 miles up north to the East Sea, where the days are long and the mesmerizing northern lights are nothing short of magic at this time of the year. And if you travel here, you should try to mingle, to get a sense of the mood. Mingle with business people or ordinary people. And you know, the heart and soul of Germany's economy is its Mittelstand, the famous small and mid-sized businesses, which however employ more than 90% of all of Germany's employees. They're often family-owned, and they include more than 2,000 hidden global champions whose names you may not have heard, but whose profits are deeply impressive. These are companies who compete on quality and innovation, not on price. You know, often international investors ask me how these companies can compete, like with Chinese prices. Well, the answer to that is they don't. These companies have built highly attractive business niches with strong barriers to entry and utterly enviable pricing power. I find that this is one of the most overlooked secrets in the formula which made Germany the world's third biggest economy, behind the US and China, of course. And for investors, the corollary is not only to come and visit, but also to take active stakes in privately owned businesses, hidden global champions, and take them to the next level.
Well, Burkhard, thank you very much once again for your boots on the ground perspective. It's always a pleasure to hear what you hear and see as you visit these beautiful places and what investors should be mindful of. And do enjoy the rest of your time in Germany. I also hear you're cycling to Denmark this weekend, and I, of course, look forward to catching up again when you're back.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's always a pleasure to connect to you. Thank you for this chat, and have a great rest of the day.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investor investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.